I desire your prayers. I had a question to ask us all, and just something to ponder in your minds. Maybe you can think of some of your own examples, but I got a little phrase here that came from a song, and in fact, I'll write part of the phrase, which is part of the title, on the board here. Part of the title written on the board. It says, "It will be worth it all." And I'll ask the question first. How many times have we been in a situation where when everything was said and done, when the dust had settled, so to speak, and we're reflecting back on our experience and what took place, we could say sometimes with a sigh of relief or whatever the case, "That was sure worth it. That was worth my time. That was worth my effort." I'll just give you a few examples. And no doubt some of you all can relate to some of these things. And perhaps you'll think, your mind will think of several other things. But this is just to get us started here. I thought especially of a mother that carries her unborn child for 9 months in her womb. And for those that have gone through that, whether you were the mother or the father witnessing the experience, the mother goes through quite a bit, more than can be imagined, until you experience it yourself, obviously. But the discomfort, the pain, the sacrifices, all those things that take place, and in the end, or as a climax, obviously, the childbirth being a very difficult, painful situation and process. But in the end, when that mother is holding that little newborn baby in her arms, she says, "It was worth it all." Isn't that wonderful that God made that such a beautiful plan of children as such? Well, that's just one example. You could say she forgets all the pains, all the labor, all the sacrifices, all the discomforts holding this newborn child, thinking of all the wonderful things. She's not thinking about all the negative things, okay? So that's one example. And here's another one. Perhaps some of us have had to travel maybe hundreds of miles to see maybe a dying loved one that's on their deathbed. Maybe they're still alive. And you're racing to get there to beat the clock, so to speak. And sometimes you make it there and you see them and you're able to interact with them, at least for maybe a few minutes, few hours, days, whatever the case. And then maybe eventually they die and they slip away and they're gone forever. But yet the sacrifices you took to make that trip, maybe you drove all night, no sleep, but it was worth it all, was it not, to see that loved one? Then maybe there's this side. You think of the mothers, the fathers, the grandparents, the husbands, the wives that have prayed for years for an unsaved loved one. And maybe they've gone out of their way for years sacrificing, doing things just to encourage them along the way, to get a glimpse of what God has for them. Maybe sacrificing, taking them to church for years, maybe, or maybe talking with them, encouraging them, doing things just to get them to think about God, whatever the case is, and praying for years, maybe fasting and not seeing much change. But then the day you get that phone call or that word that they're making some changes in their life. And then maybe that glorious day when they actually are saved. Then you can say it was worth it all. Was it not? Well, those are just a few examples. And no doubt we could go on and on. But this is something that These are things that, experiences that we hold close to our heart, are they not? Well, to say it this way, all those things are great and wonderful. But that doesn't compare to what the rest of this song says. The rest of the title says, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." That, dear ones, takes the cake. That one is beyond. Just imagine for a moment those that have gone on before. Think of John the Baptist. You remember his work, his ministry, the forerunner of Christ, and all that he sacrificed, all the things that he did, and yet his life was cut short. And he did all these things for the Lord, and then someone is envious of him or does not want to hear of God's judgment and God's truth and what the Bible or what God taught through his commandments. And so they want the head of John the Baptist. And his life is cut short. But can you imagine when he sees the face of Jesus, it was worth it all. Yes. And not only him, think of Peter when he was crucified upside down. And you think of all the things that he suffered in this life. He was beaten. He was thrown in prison. He was deprived of a lot of things. And no doubt people made fun of him. Of course they did. Because he was a follower of Christ. Like, what are you old fishermen doing out here preaching the gospel? You don't even have an education. No. He has a different type of education. He met the master. But then to experience all those things in his life, and in the end, asking to be crucified upside down. And when he crossed over the spiritual Jordan, over into the other realm, to see the face of Jesus, no doubt he said, it was worth it all. Then, of course, we have Apostle Paul. We remember all the stories, the reverses, the shipwrecks, again, the beatings, the imprisonments, all those things. And before his life was taken, no doubt all these things were going through his mind, but he counted the cost. He knew that victory, ultimate victory, was just around the corner. And no doubt when he met Jesus and saw him face to face, no doubt he said, it was worth it all. But then I think of another one. We've heard this story multiple times, all of these that I mentioned. But I think of the first martyr. You remember Stephen? In fact, we've studied him in the adult Sunday school class different times. But I want to turn and read just a little bit here of what he experienced, just to remind us of the situation here. In Acts, the 7th chapter, oh, there's so much here that's rich, but we'll just pick up the last part. You see, Stephen was falsely accused. And he knew, no doubt he had, perhaps you could say God had spoke to him, I don't know, that your time is short. I don't know that, but perhaps God did. But he didn't know the day or the hour. I doubt Stephen knew that. But yet when he was standing before the council here and giving his life's testimony, no doubt he's thinking in the back of his mind, this may be it. But he stands up there and bravely preaches the gospel. Didn't hold back a thing in the face of all his adversaries there, knowing that that's probably going to seal his fate. But Stephen preached the gospel loud and clear, unabashedly, unashamed, knowing again what was most likely soon to happen. And it goes on here in verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. It was brought out in the adult Sunday school class. that it was as if the inward rage that they had, the sinful inward rage, vehement desire to destroy this man, to shut his mouth once and for all, because they didn't like hearing these things. It was cutting them to the heart, it said. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. It's as if they were gritting their teeth, just saying, I can't stand to hear that. I don't want it, you know, just gritting, grinding their teeth. Well, that wasn't it. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Oh, glory. Can you imagine what he felt inside? The damage hadn't taken place yet. The stones weren't flying yet, okay? But it was as if God gave him a sneak preview. This is your reward if you'll be faithful. If you won't recant at the last, when the stones are flying and you say, come what may, I'm going to trust you, Lord. Don't give up in the fight. But he gave him a little preview of Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And it goes on and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now get this. He hadn't received his reward yet. Understand that. Stephen had not received his reward. He wasn't in heaven yet. He was still dealing with the... You realize Stephen could have stopped at any point here when he saw the crowd coming towards him with the rocks raised. He could have said, no. This is too much. I recant. Never mind what I said. I'm sorry. You realize Stephen could have done that? But no, God gave him a glorious vision. You could say a sneak preview of his reward, that if you'll be faithful to the end, you will get more than just seeing Jesus. You'll get to be in his presence forever. But he got a glimpse of him, and that was enough, because read what happens here. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. Get this mental image here, this vision of what these people were doing. So upset, so furious with what they had just heard, that how dare he say this about us and about this Jesus guy. And so they're stopping their ears, and it's if, and then they're gritting their teeth, and they start running towards him with stones in their hands. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Well, first off, they stopped with their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes as at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, he was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Thank the Lord. And I can envision he fell asleep, if you could say it this way, in the arms of Jesus. And I don't believe he felt the extreme pain that he could have felt. I'm not saying he didn't feel any pain. I don't know. I wasn't Stephen. I wasn't there. But he fell asleep. And it's as if God just took him. I don't know all the details how this happened. But the bottom line was, Stephen was faithful. He was faithful to God's calling for him. He was faithful all the way through all this adversity. He could have backed out at any point, but Stephen didn't back out. The Lord proved himself faithful, came to Stephen's rescue, and of course had a glorious parting, if you could say that. And in the end, when Stephen was seeing Jesus face to face, don't you reckon he said, it was worth it all? Don't you believe that's what... And to this day, all those that have gone on before, all the martyrs, all those that have trusted the Lord, to the end, against all odds, against all the adversities in their life, no doubt they're all saying, it was worth it. It was worth it all. Well, you know, sometimes in life, we may meet up with trials, severe. And there comes a time, no doubt God in His mercy Sometimes it's as if He gives us a little sneak preview of heaven. Not that we can see into the gates of heaven, so to speak, but it's as if God's Spirit witnesses to our spirit, which is God's Spirit within us, that He witnesses and makes this little connection there that, child, do you realize what I have in store for you? And maybe God will speak to us whatever it is. I've had different times. I remember one time in particular. This has been years ago. Was on one of my first jobs and was going through a very difficult time. And I wasn't... Anyway, there's a lot of issues going on there. And I remember I could take you to the place right now. I could drive you to the place of where I was at. Driving down the highway in my little pickup. Headed home. And the tears were a-flowing. I was beyond... It's like I couldn't take any more. But the Lord came and visited me. And it's as if He gave me a little glimpse of what it's going to be someday to be in His heaven, in that heavenly abode. Then it was as if everything was just lifted. I felt so light and free. And then the tears started flowing again, but it was tears of joy, tears of happiness, tears of you name it. I'm like, oh, this is wonderful. And I felt the load was gone. The burden was gone. Only God could do that. But it was as if I got like little Stephen here. I shouldn't say little, but it was like Stephen. It was as if I got a sneak little preview. And it was as if the Lord was saying, if you'll be faithful, this is yours someday. Isn't that wonderful? That God doesn't have to. He's not required to do that. It's not like He, you know, signs this little agreement at the bottom. He says, oh, I will do this and this and this and this. No. God is, He's given us all these promises. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We don't know how that's going to happen. How am I going to know that God hasn't forsaken me? He pays us those special visits like what Stephen received. And there's others. We could go on and on about these, but I want to read a scripture here in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. You see, sometimes through life, our flesh, the fact that we're still in the flesh, it gets in the way. I'll explain. You ever been in a situation that maybe you question yourself or you question God and you're like, I don't understand. Why? You ever been in that position? You're not complaining necessarily, and you're not rebelling against God, but whatever adversity, whatever trials you're experiencing, you're stepping back and going, I don't understand. I don't get it. It's because we're still in the flesh. This carnality, there's a part of it that, the scripture says, the Lord knoweth our frame, and it is but dust. We're still humans. We're still in the flesh. But thank the Lord, there's another part to it. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, in verse 12, it says, for now we see through a glass darkly. You realize what is happening? It's as if, and the scripture's alluding to the mirrors, and the mirrors back in those days are not like what we have today. A lot of times they were just a polished metal, okay? And they could easily be clouded up, and they could easily not reflect exactly what... They could be dark, cloudy, whatever, and you can't really see the image. And what that's referring to is, in our own human eyes and understanding, we can get things so cloudy in our minds and understanding, and we're saying, Lord, why this and why that? And I don't see you moving and working over here like I thought you would be. And I don't understand why I try my hardest to do this and serve you over here, and then this starts happening. And I don't understand it. Well, it's because it's cloudy. It's because we're still in the flesh. Sometimes we really don't see as clear as we would want to and desire to. And to realize that there are some things in this life perhaps we'll never understand. But the scripture says, let's read on. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. What is he alluding to is there's going to come a day where I will know and understand all these things. It'll all be made known. It'll all make total perfect sense. Because sometimes in this life, things may make sense to a certain point, but it's like, well, what about this and this and this? So I understand this, and I understand how you did that, Lord, but there's all these other little things. I don't get it. I don't understand. But don't let that deter you. Don't let, and no doubt Stephen, when he was fixing to be stoned, he's probably thinking, Lord, why me? There's plenty others out there that are serving you and, but why me? You ever felt that way? And you're thinking, Lord, why me? But God had a plan. And God has a plan for each and every one of us in this room tonight. Yes, do you believe that? I do. The scriptures bear it out. And I don't have to prove it. But God does have a plan for each and every one. And ultimately, His plan for each and every one of us is to make it to heaven, to gain that heavenly reward, to where one of these days we can be on the other side and say it was worth it all. That we can join the ranks of the cloud of witnesses over there, that it was worth it all. Again, sometimes our vision gets cloudy, dim, dark. But there will come a day we see Jesus face to face. Let me read the rest of this song. I'm just going to read the chorus. It says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Thank the Lord. You know, I get this vision in my mind. I don't know what it's going to be like to make it into heaven and to see Jesus face to face. I have no idea what that's, but I want to experience that desperately. Can you imagine just for a moment here? I remember one time when I was a child, our whole family had taken a trip out to California to see some of our family, extended family. And we were all fixing to go to this large family attraction that was expensive, tickets to get in. And I was just a little guy. I didn't really, but I knew it was expensive. I heard my mom and dad talking about, we got a lot of children here. It's going to be an expensive little bill. But they were willing to do it. It was a big family thing. But I remember hearing the rest of the story. Hearing my mother and father talk later. My uncle paid for all of our tickets. All 8 of us. And for a little child like me, I couldn't hardly comprehend that. I'm thinking, what? I mean, it was, I don't know how much over, $100, $200. I don't know how much. And back then, that was a lot of money. Especially to a little guy. And I'm thinking, wow. I mean, that just so impressed me. And of course, I've never forgot it. That's been probably over 30 years ago. But just that one act of kindness, I have never forgotten. He paid the price. And He didn't have to. Paid it in full. And He was glad. Oh, He's like, oh no. And I remember seeing the commotion. And He's like, oh, no, you know, get back here, you know, I'm going to, and he jumped in front of everyone and He paid the price. You know, that's exactly what Jesus did for you and I. Yes. Jesus paid the price. We were doomed. There was no way in our own selves that we could make it to heaven. But Jesus carried the weight and the load of sin, of our sins on His back. Nailed to the cross, made a way, paid the price in full for our salvation, that we could someday enjoy this heavenly abode with Him. But the condition is you must believe and you must persevere. You must endure. That's what the rest of the song is talking about. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. You see, that's the rest of the story. Some of these I was speaking of earlier. Peter, John the Baptist, Stephen, Apostle Paul. You realize they had some endurance. They had to persevere. They had to bravely run the race. Let me read just a few scriptures. These are very familiar. But just to remind us, we're not just going to glide, so to speak, into heaven. We're not just going to waltz in there and say, well, I made it in. That's not how it happens. In Philippians, the third chapter, Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, it's Apostle Paul here. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, he got a vision of his calling. And not only that, he got a vision of that prize. You realize God actually revealed some of those things to Apostle Paul and then also John the Revelator and others. God will reveal himself. And Stephen, we mentioned earlier, they got a revelation of not only their calling and their duty for the Lord, but God gave them a little glimpse of their reward in heaven. And you know, sometimes the Lord may do that for you and I. I'm not going to say when he's going to do it, how he's going to do it. I don't know. But this one thing I know, this Bible is full of promises and full of examples of those that persevered through all adversity, and they would press toward that mark, that heavenly prize, against all fleshly, carnal desires that you just want to give up. You just want to kind of step back and say, well, I think I'm just going to rest for a while. You realize that's music to the ears of the devil? Oh, they just want to kick their feet up and rest a little while. But sometimes the Lord, even then, in his mercy, will reveal again that heavenly prize that you're not going to get this acting that way. How many times do we have our parents maybe do that to us, that, you know, they'll maybe dangle some money up here. If you do the chores and you do this and you do this job and that job, you might get a reward. Or maybe it was a little treat, whatever the case was. You're like, oh, okay, I get the picture. Yeah. You know, sometimes the Lord will do that to you and I. And it's just of his mercy, just like he did with Stephen. God did not have to do that for Stephen. You realize that? That was the mercies of God. Open the windows of heaven just a little bit, where Stephen could see, you know what? It's going to be worth it. And then that vision was closed maybe again. And then here come his adversaries, the stones and all those things. He didn't run from it. Dear ones, there's going to come a point sometime in our life. Satan's going to tempt us. He's going to bombard us to where we're going to feel like running. I want to tell you something. Stephen didn't run. Stephen stood in the midst of all of this. I don't know how to get this across any better. It was as if Stephen knew. Well, let me back up a little bit. I don't think Stephen really knew the trickle effect that he was going to have. Of course, we know who was standing in the crowd there. Apostle Paul, or Saul at the time. But it was more than that. It was you and I. Because I'm reading this account of Stephen and his faithfulness. But there's scriptures that bear out that we are writing epistles ourselves with our lives. That others that come behind us are going to read, so to speak, what we have done with our life. Did we endure to the end and say it was worth it all? Every single sacrifice, every single people speaking evil of me and people turning a cold shoulder on me and all these things, it was worth it all. All the physical afflictions, all the misunderstandings, all those things, it's like, no, it was worth it all because I got a prize waiting for me. If I will press towards that mark, as the scripture says, there's another one in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, another familiar scripture, just reminding us of these tonight. I want us to be encouraged. That's my burden tonight. That sometimes Satan, we heard a monarch, sometimes he likes to bark or roar pretty loudly in this ear over here. The evil influences. You know about this person, you know this situation, and God really doesn't care about you either, and look what's happening there. He's just forsaken you. Don't listen to that. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, this gives us instruction of what to do. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. You know what that weight is sometimes? It's our own personal, carnal understanding and vision of our life or someone else's life. Sometimes we just need to lay that aside. Say, Lord, I don't get it and I don't understand and I'm going to commit it to you. Okay? Laying it, because that can be a weight. It can get us disillusioned, distracted. And the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It didn't say, let us walk, let us drag with patience. Let us run. Do you realize, I mentioned earlier, those that are around us, they know whether we are enthused about serving the Lord or not. And I want to give you a little example. If someone had a prize waiting at the end of the driveway down there, maybe someone was dangling five $100 bills and say, the first five people that get here get $100 each. Do you think we're just kind of going to walk down there and say, well, and just kind of take our time? You know what? I dare say, young and old alike, we would be sprinting to the end of that driveway. But that's the vision I get in mind here, that sometimes we have heaven looking for. Isn't that worth more than $100? We have heaven, this race that we're running for heaven. We're not running against each other either. As Brother Jeremy pointed out earlier, we have that prize, heaven, on the other side, that the devil would love to just make us drag along and say, yeah, I'm serving the Lord and He's wonderful, Savior to me. But show it with your life. Be excited about serving the Lord. What did Job say? Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Sometimes it feels like the Lord is slaying us. You understand what I'm saying? But really all He's doing is pruning off all the ugly stuff. That's all He's doing. You're like, ow, that hurts. Yeah, that's not like me. So that can't fit into heaven. That's all the Lord is doing. And what did Job say later? That when I am tried, I'll come forth as gold. And that gold is something that endures all the heat, all the fiery trials, and all the dross is removed, and that gold fits perfectly into heaven. Does it not? Thank the Lord. That we have this opportunity to serve the Lord in this capacity, saying, Lord, sometimes I don't feel like running. I want to tell you something. Sometimes the Lord will just take your hand and say, well, run with me. Because we don't have the strength sometimes. Because maybe we are maimed. Maybe we are injured and say, Lord, I want to. As long as we keep pressing, Lord, I'm going to try as hard as I can. And the Lord will do the rest. Isn't that wonderful? You remember the poem, Footsteps? You remember that? And as if when he got to the end, he's looking back and he only saw the one set of footsteps. Like, where were you at, Lord? He was carrying him. Because he couldn't walk. He couldn't run. Isn't that beautiful? God will take up the slack, so to speak. We do our best and God will do the rest. That's what it amounts to. You realize Stephen, he did all he could do. He couldn't change these people's minds. He couldn't change their hearts. And he couldn't transform himself into this bulletproof guy. But he did his best. He persevered. And God did the rest. Isn't that beautiful? Yes, sir. That's all we have to do. It's not some complicated procedure here. Let me tell you something. I've been involved in some complicated procedures, some complicated paperwork and all these things on my job. And I step back sometimes and I'm scratching my head thinking, why did they do that? And why have they been, and why does this have to happen? It's complicated. And sometimes, and to this day, there's a lot of things I still don't understand. But I know if I just do what they tell me to do, these folks have been doing it for years, 30, 40, 50 years. They're saying, this works. Just do this and this and this and everything will be fine. You realize that's all. The devil wants to complicate things. All we have to do is take the Word of God. That's our roadmap to this heavenly prize. That's it. And the devil, isn't that amazing? This plan of salvation, it's so simple. It's when we get our carnal minds involved in it, we start overcomplicating it. All we have to do, what's the scripture say? John 3:16. Let's turn and read that just for a moment. I'm sure most of us can quote it. One of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible, John 3:16. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I'm sorry, that's another scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have this reward we've been talking about, everlasting life. All you got to do is believe. But do you realize what belief really means? If you really believe something, you are going to take action. Just like I gave the example of somebody flashing some $100 bills at the end of the driveway. If I really believed that I could get one of those, and maybe all five of them, I'm going to take action. You realize that's what we're doing in our Christian walk with the Lord? If we really believe this everlasting life is available, and if we really believe that Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross, and if we really believe that we can make it to that heavenly abode, then we will take action. We will run with patience. We will press toward the mark. And in the end, when we see Jesus face to face, we'll say, it was worth it all. Isn't that wonderful? That this is for everyone. It's not just for a special few. The scripture I was mentioned earlier, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that beautiful? It doesn't matter what family I'm in. It doesn't matter what nationality. It doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter my mental capabilities. It doesn't matter what I look like. All that matters is I believe that God has a prize for me. I believe there is a heaven. I believe there is forgiveness for my sins. And I believe there is deliverance from sin. And I believe God will take me to heaven. Isn't that wonderful tonight?
Yes, it is.
So here's my challenge to us all. Let's run the race. What's the rest of that song say? So bravely run the race till we see Christ. You pray for me that I would run this race.